we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, June the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom on Mondays, we like to take a look at a reading for the following Sunday, which is Proper 8, June the 30th, 2024. We're going to take a look at Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. This is the healing of the daughter of Jairus. It occurs not only in Mark 5, but also in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 8. So for the apostles who wrote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this was an important event. It begins, verse 21, Mark 5. When Jesus had again crossed over in the boat to the other side of the sea, a large crowd gathered around him by the seashore. You see, Jesus definitely had the reputation of helping out people. He was healing those who were blind, deaf, mute, and lame. So, wherever he went, the people tried to press around him. Verse 22, a synagogue leader by the name of Jairus came. Now, synagogue leaders would be somewhat akin to elders in the Holy Christian Church. They kind of would invite people to speak, as Jesus was invited by another synagogue leader. Now, this individual came, and when he saw Jesus, he knelt at his feet. Now, this is a synagogue leader. You know, in the synagogue, there was definitely the teaching that you're saved by your works. But because of the preaching and miracles of Jesus, Jairus really thought he needed him. And he knelt at his feet, which was an act of worship, and earnestly pleaded with him. He said, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And the next statement, he went with him. But as he was going with him, a large crowd followed him and pressed him on all sides. So here you have the situation. Jesus is going to visit Jairus' home and perhaps lay his hands on her so that she will get well and live. But in this large crowd, verse 25, there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had suffered much under many doctors and had spent all she had. And she had not been helped at all, but had actually gotten worse. But since she heard about Jesus, she came from behind in the crowd and touched his garment. She said, "If I touch his clothes, I'll get well." Now that was an act of faith. And immediately her blood stopped flowing, and she felt in her body that she had been healed from her suffering simply by touching his garment. Now, what does that remind us of? Can you touch the garment of Jesus? Well, actually, you have even a better way. As a sainted Christian in the Holy Christian Church, you can receive the very body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Now, after she had touched Jesus, at that moment, Jesus felt power had gone from him. Turning around in the crowd, he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now his disciples said to him, "Well, you see how the crowd is pressing you on all sides, and you ask, 'Who touched me?'" So they were really confused. But she had had faith, knowing that if she could just get akin to Jesus, she would be healed. So he was looking around to see her who had done this. Verse 33, the woman, trembling with fear because she knew what had been done to her, came, bowed down before him, and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he told her, "your faith made you well. Go in peace. Be healed from your suffering." This is what we understand when we baptize our infants or older adults, or take the Lord's Supper. We believe something that is impossible to really acclaim. And that is, in baptism, sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit is given, and faith is given even to an infant. And in the Lord's Supper, under a morsel of bread and a sip of wine, we indeed touch the garments of Jesus. And through faith, we recognize that we have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says to us, "Your faith made you well. Go in peace." And you see, that faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit that makes us well. Now, while Jesus was still talking, some men came from the home of the synagogue leader, Jairus. Remember, he had come to Jesus and said, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so she will get well." Well, these men from his house says, "Your daughter died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" Now, Jesus heard what these men said to Jairus, and he told the synagogue leader, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." And then when they got to the home, Jesus let only Peter, James, and John, go with him. So they came to the home of Jairus. There he saw the noisy crowd, crying and wailing aloud. Now that was a custom in Judaism, that after the death of a loved one, people would cry aloud and wail, showing their grief to God. But when Jesus saw the noisy crowd, crying and wailing aloud, he asked, "Why do you make a noise and cry? The child is not dead. She is sleeping." Now, they laughed at him. That is often the reaction of those who do not have faith in Jesus. We see that today in this country, that people laugh at the morality that Jesus taught and his teachings on the gospel. How can someone die on a cross and I'm on my way to heaven? So, the child isn't dead. She is sleeping. But he put them all outside, except for Peter, James, and John, and Jairus, and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took the child's hand and said to her in Aramaic, "Talitha kum," and that can be translated, "Little girl, I tell you, get up." Now remember, she is dead. Verse 42. Immediately, the girl got up and walked around. She was 12 years old, and the people were utterly amazed. Now, isn't that interesting that the woman who was healed from a flow of blood had that illness for 12 years, and this girl was also 12 years old? Then Jesus says, verse 43, he gave them strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Now, why would Jesus say that? This would not be a verse you want to put on a poster in church. Jesus saying, "Don't let anyone know about what I did or what I am preaching." Why did he say that? Well, remember, this is early in Jesus' ministry, and he knew the hatred of the unbelieving Pharisees. And he knew that there was going to come a time when they would have the last straw in killing him. And that was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus did not want people to tell what he had done. And so this was a way of protecting him and making sure that it would be the right time when he would be arrested and end up going to jail and prison and the crucifixion. One of the other readings for Proper 8 is Psalm 30. We're going to take a look at that. It's entitled, a psalm sung at the dedication of the temple by David. So this is a worship psalm. I praise you, O Lord, for pulling me out and not letting my enemies rejoice over me. You see, that's what Jesus was doing when he told them to be silent about the raising of the little girl from the dead, so his enemies would not put him to death early. Verse 2, we're in Psalm 30. O Lord my God, I call to you for help, and you made me well. Now, is that a verse that you can sing as a Christian? And the answer is yes. Because prior to being made well, namely by receiving the gift of holy baptism, you were really with original sin and did not have proper faith. But at your baptism, God made you well. He gave you the gift of faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Continuing verse 3. What is that wellness? O Lord, you lifted me up from the grave and saved me from going down to the pit. Now, we know that human beings, even as sainted Christians, die and go into the pit, that is, into the grave. But they really have not, because their spirit has gone up to heaven. That is what we call the time of the interim, the in-between time of your blessed death on earth and the day of judgment, when your body will be restored to your spirit. David continues, verse 4. Sing to the Lord, you people that he loves, and praise him as you remember how holy he is. His anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night, but there is happy shouting in the morning. So our time here on earth is like time spent at night, but there will be happy shouting in the morning when Jesus restores himself, comes back on the clouds of heaven, bringing through the angels all the believers into his presence to live forever. David continues, when all was well with me, I thought, I'll never fail. O Lord, by your kindness, you made me like a mighty mountain. But when you hid your face, I was terrified. Because David recognized he could not accomplish anything apart from the Lord. How many times do members of the congregation get terrified when they think the Lord has left him? But the Lord never leaves us. Verse 8. I called to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord. what's the good of my being killed and going down to the grave? Can the dust praise you or tell how faithful you are? See, David really is worried about his death. What good is his rotting body doing in a grave? How can it praise the Lord? But David is going to remember that his spirit is with Jesus, and therefore he continues to praise him. Verse 10, listen, O Lord, and be merciful to me. What does that mean? To request mercy is to request that God does not give us what we deserve, which is eternal hell. O Lord, help me, says verse 10. Now, if you attend a Christian funeral, for example, you will find people who come in weeping, but at the end of the proper funeral, they are joyous. They still grieve, but they do not have the grief of the world, in that they have new hope. So that's what verse 11 is talking about. You have changed my weeping to dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and fastened joy like a robe around me. Now this reminds us of the New Testament, where the saints are dressed in the robe of Jesus. And that white robe, that white garment, is how they will appear in heaven. And they will be with Jesus forever and ever. But we don't have to wait to get to heaven to rejoice. Many things happen to us in our life where it appears that God is absent. But the fact is, that is not true. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And that's why the end of chapter 30, verse 12 says, now my heart can sing to you and not weep. O Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Now, why do we praise God? Because the reason our heart can sing and no longer weep is because he has taken away our sins. That's what forgiveness means. He has blotted out our sins. That means we are no longer held accountable for our sins. Yes, we're still sinners, but we're also righteous. And that's why we praise him forever and ever. Because he is our Lord. In fact, the word Lord, every letter is capitalized. That means that's referring to the name of God that Moses heard in Exodus. Yahweh, I am who I am. Now, the way I like translating it, I fulfill what I promise. Because when Moses asked, how am I going to be able to move the people of Israel from Egypt, God says, I will do it through you. It's very interesting to note that Moses never had the power to save anyone, but he had the authority to do so. And that was done by releasing from slavery the people of Israel. Remember when they got to the Red Sea, was it Moses who opened the Red Sea? No, it was God himself. He used the staff of Moses over the Red Sea, dividing the waters. Time and time again, Moses would go to the Lord because of the disobedience of the people of Israel. After getting through the Red Sea, they complained to Moses that they did not have water. Moses requested God for help, and they received much water. Then they complained they didn't have food. Moses requested help from God, and manna fell from the skies, all during the time of their 40 years in the wilderness until they reached the land of Canaan. Then there was an occasion when they were upset because they did not have meat, and God sent birds into their area and released their hunger. God does that for you as a Christian. And that's why it's so important for us to recognize God's promises. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the hymn, In the Very Midst of Life. Join us at 9:30. I'm Tom Baker. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.